Coronation Tuesday. On this November the 6th in the year of our Lord 2012, you're listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, your host, and our co-host with us today is the Right Reverend Dr. Mark Smith.
The Right Reverend Doctor. Is that right?
Yeah.
What makes me a Right Reverend?
Because you're not wrong. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing fine on this election day, yes.
Election day?
Yes. Yes, we had voting today. Remember? Didn't you vote?
For a synodical president or something?
No.
For the president?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, Missouri.
Tom.
Yes.
I know you're bluffing us all, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. In fact, that's what we're going to be talking about today, because as I said in my promo, and it's kind of interesting, Issues Etc. was just on, neither one of us are wearing a clerical collar right now.
No, but I do typically wear one on Sundays.
Yes. Do you wear one when you go to the hospital?
Not necessarily, yeah. Unless I maybe had a funeral earlier that day or later that day, something like that. Funerals, I wear them.
Yeah, the only time I wear it is when
for
I'm
worship.
Driving.
Well,
unless I'm in a Jewish neighborhood.
Now, why is that?
When I get stopped, I got a clerical collar, and I'm rushing to an emergency.
Well, you know, it used to be. Now, I don't know. It used to be a clerical collar would open doors, but, you know, with all the
clergy... Oh, it does, in hospital. But,
you know, sadly, with all the clergy abuse these days, it probably closes doors some, too. People...
Yeah, that's a good
you
point.
Know, that's, it's too
that.
Bad. It's tragic, really.
Yes, we will listen to Issues Etc. when they talk about why pastors wear clerical collars. We don't want to get into it right now. But I believe that'll be from 3 to maybe 4:15. And then I come on today on KFUO, Issues Etc., 4:15. And what an appropriate day. It's Israel wants a king. They're not satisfied with God. And so this is going to be kind of interesting on the day that we're electing a president of the United States, that we're going to talk about how that's still appropriate today. I do not believe that our desire to have a president of the United States means that we don't want God to be our president.
No, at least not for most Christians, I would think.
Yes, because...
Why do you think, while we're on that subject, why do you think God told Samuel, well, go ahead and let them have it. If they want a king,
I can't
let
tell
them
you
have
that
a
right
king.
Now. Because that's the theme.
Giving away your thunder.
Oh,
right?
Boy.
Okay.
It sure is.
All right. Well, it should
but
be.
But that's a good point. That's a very good point. Why would God give in to the people?
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to. In fact, he did more than give in. In fact, when you think of Saul, of the Old Testament,
yes.
Do you have a negative or positive reaction in your mind?
Pretty much negative.
Yes.
A tragic. Tragic
yeah.
reaction. Yeah. I think of, you know, a lot of promise there. He was, literally heads above other people. And
The Bible has a funny way of saying that. It says that he was taller than anyone from his shoulder up.
Right, right. A head above everybody else.
I keep thinking he's got 3-inch feet or something, or legs. But from the shoulder up, he was, what, 6? I couldn't. But it was just a way of the Hebrew way of saying you're taller. He was the tallest man in Israel at that time.
Is that right?
That's what the Bible says.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'll have to listen.
I will definitely listen.
But the reason we're not going to go to the Old Testament to answer our question today about church and state items is simply because the Old Testament was a kind of a monarchy.
Yes. In fact, it was a theocracy.
Can you explain that?
Well, God was ruled. You know, I understand Israel is being both church and state in one.
Excellent.
It was a different situation there.
I agree.
Church
with that.
And state in one, and
and
their leader was God. I mean, they had judges. They had judges that helped lead the people, but really, God was seen as their leader.
Do you remember the two reasons why they wanted a king?
Well, because everybody else had a king.
Yeah.
It was kind of a, you know, everybody else had this figurehead, this king, and the people of Israel, why can't we have a king? You know,
yeah.
It was just kind of wanting to be like everybody else.
There was a second reason. And I hadn't realized that till I went into depth on this. But the second reason is simply they wanted somebody to fight their wars for them.
Uh-huh.
You know, an army. But we'll get into that in more detail in about 2 hours. And it's in light of the Sunday school lesson for this coming Sunday. What I want to talk about, and this is a different way of that I was going to go on this, until I heard the book talk yesterday. Rod Zwanisser is the host, and he had a Nancy Piercy on, who wrote a book on total truth. And I really found it quite fascinating. You'll be able to archive that. Just keep in mind it was yesterday, Monday. And then today she's on, though, a second time.
I heard you say she's very good.
Yeah, so right after my program, Rod Zwanisser will be talking to her again. And she made a really interesting point, and it changes the direction I wanted to go. When I was talking about church and state, I was going to talk about that the church, and tell me if you agree with this, that the pastor in the pulpit really ought not get into politics unless there's a clear word from God in an area of morality.
Right. Well, such as abortion.
Yes, or gay marriage.
Or homosexuality, gay marriage,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. There, he cannot keep quiet.
Right.
And therefore, he needs to speak out. Well, her book is really kind of interesting because she comes at it from a different point of view, that the real difference between church and society today is the difference between values, personal values, and truth.
Yes. Yes.
And she
truth,
used,
of course, is what the church is concerned with.
Very good.
Especially the absolute truth, Jesus Christ.
Yes. And she was talking about a Unitarian, I think it was, a woman pastor who say, yeah, we read from the Bible, we read from the Quran, we read from Buddhism.
Yeah, when you talk
service.
About...
And the point she was making, the reason she reads from those, she doesn't believe any of them. But they're the values of that particular group.
Which the values of society, of course, can change. They can ebb and flow. They can metamorphose over the years. I mean, into almost all different things, you know.
Because there's no truth.
Exactly.
You see, and that was really kind of interesting to me. The more I thought about what she was saying, the more it makes sense in this day and age now. You've got individuals who've been attacked because they're pro-life and as though they have a war against women kind of thing.
Right. Right.
And no, it's actually the people who are for abortion who have a war against women in the womb.
Exactly. I mean, think of all those little girls.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why, you know.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's the ultimate abuse, is not to have no regard for the little infants in the womb. You know, whether they be girl or boy.
Now I can understand where the pastor would not be pushing the church's specific theological beliefs on a government, like babies should be baptized.
Right, right.
You can't make a law out of that.
As strongly as we feel about it, yes.
That's right. Which shows a real big difference between Christianity there and the Islamic faith.
Because they would. They would make a rule.
And why? Well, what is their philosophy?
They don't understand the distinction between church and state.
Excellent.
At all.
Yes.
It's just one and the same with them.
Well, when we talk about the values and morals that we have in the church, we don't necessarily impose them on the government unless they're commandments from God. I'll give you one, for example, that we don't impose on the government, but we would excommunicate for, and that is an unbiblical divorce.
Right.
But if I was a judge in a court and a person came in and it was an unbiblical divorce, because of the laws of the land and what Jesus says for the hardness of their heart, you may allow a no-fault divorce in that situation from a legal point of view, but if they're members of your congregation as an elder, the same judge, could go ahead and vote for excommunication.
Yes. And, of course, if there's true, genuine repentance, that puts a different light on it.
Yes. So what I'm seeing here is the world is looking at our belief system and morality in that same way, that that's just your opinion. That's for you within the church. And they allow the church to have its own set of beliefs. If you want to join that, that's fine. Just don't impose them on me. So what's really being lost here is truth.
Right.
In fact, here's the point she made. She was critical of the church because we keep talking in the area of values, you know, that the world needs to have these values. And her point was the word value is a personal belief system.
It's not adequate, really.
No, it's not adequate to talk. Now,
that's an excellent point she's making because, you know, we often speak of values. You know, that's, you know, and that's not really saying it quite accurately. It really isn't.
Like, for instance, she was talking about gay marriage, and there were two courts that okayed it, and they okayed it on the basis that there was no scientific fact given by the pro-marriage group why it had to be a male and a female. There's no reason it can't be a male and a male or a female and a female, husband and wife. And so they put science, you know, against Christian values, and therefore ruled that constitutionally you're not allowed to do that because of our separation of church and state. And there's two courts that have done that. Now, I'm going to be listening, hopefully, to her today to find out, okay, what's her next move? How do we talk in the naked square, so to speak? Once more, her name is Nancy Pearcey, P-E-A-R-C-E-Y. The book is Total Truth. And right after our program, you're going to hear the second part of the interview by Pastor Zwanitzer with her.
That's today.
Yes.
Oh, we'll have to listen.
Yeah, well, on your way home.
You bet.
You can listen, and then you'll just have to keep the radio on till 4:15
sure.
when you hear my Sunday school. Yeah, sure. By then you'll probably be... I got a feeling. Fortunately, it's not till the end of the program on issues, etc., that they start telling what the votes were in various areas.
We'll be listening tonight, won't we?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I am praying.
Yep. So, let's get into that. Where would you... Do you feel it's proper for a pastor with a clerical collar to stand in the pulpit and say one of two things? It would be a sin to vote for Barack Obama because he's pro-abortion, or it would be a sin to vote for Romney because he's Mormon. Would you say either one of those items?
I would say either those are wrong.
That's correct. And see, a lot of people don't understand that.
No.
Because when you're talking about who you're going to elect, unless it's somebody like Hitler, where he's breaking the Constitution and the laws of the land, neither one of them are doing that. And so I would say a Lutheran pastor in Germany, some did die because they spoke against Hitler.
Right, oh yes.
And his treatment of Jews that did not have the proper rights that the German Constitution permitted them and this sort of thing. So I could see that speaking against voting for someone. But the problem is every person who gets elected, I'm sure there's some areas that you appreciate and some you don't. So I could see that somebody who would be pro-life still might think that they could vote for Barack Obama because he set up a system where food stamps are available to those who need it.
He's helping the poor.
Yeah. Another person might say, well, I don't agree with Romney on his religion, but because he's not going to push it as president, I think I'm going to vote for him because he promises to get jobs back, which we don't have. So I would make a distinction between speaking against a candidate from the pulpit in contrast to speaking against positions. For example, if Romney was pushing that we're going to change the laws to allow polygamy, then I would speak against that.
Yes.
And with the idea of abortion and gay marriage. Now, by the way, President Barack Obama made an interesting comment yesterday or the day before when he was interviewed. He is not going to push, he says, in his second term, if he's reelected, gay marriage.
Is that right? Legal.
That's what he said. You know, so, but if he said he would, you know, that's something you could speak out against in the pulpit. And so you need to allow the lay people to have as much information as possible.
That's right.
Now, there's no doubt that some morality would make some pastors definitely lean in one direction or another.
Oh, yes. You know, no doubt about it.
That has to be. But I still don't think that that's a pulpit thing.
No.
Because a pulpit is to express, you know, Christ. The thing I would say is I had a congregation that was pretty well half Democrat and half Republican for 28 years. And
would you say that's kind of a rarity in our church body? Or
no, I'll tell you why
typical.
It was. There wasn't a pro-abortion Democrat in the whole
congregation. Oh, that was years. Uh-huh.
No, it was just a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
Well, still is.
Say it again. There wasn't a pro-abortion Democrat.
No, in the whole congregation.
In the whole congregation. So, in other words, they were Democrats, but they were not pro-abortion.
That's right. And also, I'll tell you, with the latest Democrat policy statements, they try to get God out of the picture,
uh-huh,
too.
Sure.
Well, nobody in my congregation would agree with that either. But we had Republicans who would disagree with Bush, and we had Democrats who would disagree with Clinton. Haven't been around there to know how they're feeling about, you know, the situation right now. But
I would imagine you really had to probably bite your tongue quite a bit not to betray your real feelings at times.
No, my real feelings is God is pro-life and God is not for homosexual marriage.
Right.
If you're talking about which candidate I would prefer, there was a very interesting thing that we had to do there. When you go to vote, you have to say whether you're Democrat or Republican. So, in the primaries, not
in the primaries,
yeah,
right.
In the primaries.
Right, not today.
So, we wouldn't go vote then because there were members of our congregation in the room. Because it was at our church.
Right.
Yeah, our church was a polling place. And so we would not go there in order to give the impression we were one side or the other. Because it really doesn't matter. Once a pastor is known in the congregation,
yes,
of split parts,
yes,
that he's definitely for one or the other.
Oh, yeah.
That
can cause problems.
So
that'd be very careful.
Yeah. So what's your advice here for pastors? I'll tell you what the sermon could be about. It would be mine this Sunday if I was still at that church. I don't know where your people are, but pretty well half the people are going to be disappointed today.
Oh, yes.
And so it's a wonderful opportunity to still show that though the president has a lot of power, he's still not king over our country.
That's right.
Who
God
is?
God is still in ultimate control.
Yeah.
Let there be no mistaking that, no matter what happens. Yeah. And that's the hope that we need to cling to, regardless of what happens tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. That's absolutely a hope. You can look back at history and see where some civilizations did fall apart.
There's
no promise.
It's no promise that our nation itself will last forever.
Remember, there's that passage from Chronicles a lot of people quote, that if you call on God, he will deliver the nation and such. And so, depending on your political point of view, they're probably both Democrats and Republicans, you know, calling on God.
Well, like he was willing to spare Sodom and Gomorrah for the sake of 10 righteous people.
Exactly.
Couldn't find them, though.
But the more Christians fall into this trap of saying that, yeah, that's my personal values, you know, it's not truth, the more trouble we're going to be
right.
in. All right, our phone numbers are 505-7850 or
1-800-730-2727.
Let's go speak with Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Pastor. I'd like to ask a question about 1 Corinthians 7. And the question centers around, to my mind, the difference between authoritative and authoritarian.
And what verse?
Primarily verse 12. This is Principles for Marriage, right? And Paul writes, starting in verse 12, to the rest I say, I, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. And the reason I thought of this is, earlier in this chapter, Paul says, not I, but the Lord.
Now, what does he mean by that?
I'm asking you.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, let me answer.
Okay.
If he says it's from the Lord, that means he has either a statement that the apostles heard while Jesus was on earth, or he has been privately received that, you know, in his visions. When he says, I, not the Lord, it still is absolutely true because the Holy Spirit is inspiring him to say this. So there's no distinction in the validity of the truth. He's just saying where the source came from. And if it didn't come from Jesus, then I'm speaking it from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. So it's still authoritative.
Absolutely, and inerrant.
Because what he's under the direction of the Holy Spirit.
And what he's saying is, if you're married to a woman who does not believe, those are not grounds for you to break the marriage.
No.
No, if she's willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And that is the stance of the church.
Right. And, you know, in this larger conversation, at someplace else, Paul goes on a rant about, you know, don't I have the right to travel with a believing wife, or is it just Peter, the one who can only not work?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to understand a distinction that needs to be made between the priesthood of all believers as opposed to a pastor speaking with authority from the pulpit, especially with regard to political issues.
Well, pastors, I've always used this distinction, Tom, is I am not inspired as were the apostles.
Right.
I'm enlightened by God's word, and I preach on God, but I don't use that word inspired in connection with my preaching or my writing. I don't put my pious opinions on the same as that of the inspired apostles. Unless, of course, it's backed up by Scripture solidly.
If it's a direct quote, you would.
Right, right.
Once we start bringing up to date, for example, then, you know, you better have good biblical background.
That's right. Or at least let people know it's your pious opinion and it's not based on Scripture.
Right.
So, you know, I think we've lost a couple of things that we need to identify and work to get back. The first is the difference between a position and an opinion. I'm thinking about in the process of debate, somebody's pro, somebody's con, and they can support their position with facts. And each side gets to rebut the other. And that is different than, okay, I'm on this side, and I don't have to defend that position. You just know that that's where I am.
Yeah, the principle we use in Lutheranism, if Scripture is clear, like I'm not going to agree with anybody who doesn't think that under the bread and the wine is the body and blood of Christ. That's not an opinion. That is fact.
That's true.
However, there are a lot of passages in the Bible, when you interpret them, You need to be open to the fact that somebody else may have a different interpretation, and we're not really sure who may be right or who may be wrong.
We call those open questions.
Yeah, open questions. But where it's not an open question, I'm still willing to talk to the person and debate with them, but I'm certainly not willing to back down. We're going to have to let you go because we're out of time, unfortunately. I had more to say, especially on this church and state item. But real quickly, Pastor Smith, when is your church service?
Yeah, we have church at Saturday at 5 p.m. and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. That's Prince of Peace Lutheran Church out in Crestwood, just south of the Watson, New Sappington intersection.
The address?
8646 New Sappington Road.
8646 New Sappington Road. Okay. As I said, keep listening right now to the continued interview by Pastor Zwanitzer with Nancy Piercy, and you'll hear more about Total Truth. Tomorrow on Law and Gospel, are good works necessary for salvation, or are they detrimental to salvation? You may be surprised to discover both statements are wrong. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.